Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This week on Pop Days,
we talk Baby Reindeer,
Arj Barker vs. the Baby,
and Mariah Carey on a roller coaster.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Days,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
You guys, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Would you rather be in the forest with a man or a bear?
Whoa.
Okay. Whoa. Huge. So as a lesbian woman, a bear, because I think I could rescue the bear and just give it some muzzle training at first, and then eventually we would be able to be off lead in some isolated areas.
I like that.
Yep.
As a gay man, mm-hmm. I also pick the bear because I love bears.
I would also pick the bear because if I had my phone in reception, he would be such a pop-off on my like Instagram stories.
Yeah.
But everyone has seen a man. So.
Yeah.
I feel like bears, I know what to do, right? Because if they're black bears, you yell at them.
Yeah, you make
like,
noise.
You make noise, you clap your hands.
Give them some honey.
Yeah. And if they're grizzly bears. I think grizzly bears, you just pray.
But
I think you should make yourself small. Whereas with men, I don't, like, first of all, sometimes I'm like, oh, God, I'm really carrying the weight of the conversation here.
Yeah.
That's my biggest complaint.
I'm so much quicker to use bear spray on a man than a bear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't use it on a bear at all.
Yeah, where's that? Do you guys know where this originated from? Like, was it?
Yes, I know. There was, I think, a TikTok where, you know, those TikToks where people are like doing street interviews and they're like, what is your thoughts on whatever? And they asked a bunch of women about whether they'd rather see a bear or a man in the forest. And then it went to Twitter and
it's become like
snowballed.
The new like discourse.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it has brought out such an interesting side of things because so many like MRA kind of guys have been like, what the fuck? Like, why are you picking like a bear? Like, that's so ridiculous. Like, not all men kind of energy. Mm. And it's like, I don't think you understand.
And they think we're being so silly. But
yeah, there was this whole like thread I saw where they were saying people would believe me if I got attacked by a bear. I won't have to see the bear at family reunions.
Yeah.
All of these like different things that the average not all man won't think about.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that we have a way to talk about this that's kind of like easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and it does really come down to the fact that like, if I saw a man walking in a forest alone, if I saw a bear, I'd be like, you belong here. This is what you're doing. You're fine. Whereas if I saw a man, I'd be like, what are you doing
here? It's sinister immediately.
Yeah.
And also, Australian men who are going off about this, we are a country where many backpackers' bodies have been discovered in forests.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? Mm-hmm. We didn't even have bears here. I'm telling you. It is men.
Koala bears.
The treatment of women in this country is a huge topic at the moment.
I mean, like Jordan, I loved your stories about the guys in your year at uni.
Oh, the hot list.
Doing a hot list.
Yeah.
With the news of this exact same thing happening at a Melbourne high school with boys rating girls in their class.
Yeah. It was wild. And it happened across a lot of schools. We had a list. It was actually in high school in the musical. So every year.
It's nothing safe.
It's nothing sacred in this world. All the boys, it was called the Hot List, and they did it every year. And they would all vote and they would rank all the girls like 1 to like 36 because, of course, everybody got in. And they didn't even factor in who were leads.
Yeah. Yeah, my range.
Yeah. And then they had this full-on ceremony, which I have to tell you at the time did not think it was a big deal.
What was the ceremony?
In retrospect, I'm like, they had this. So in the boys' change room, they would silently say, like, there was someone who was in charge of the, oh, God, this is so bad. There was a box called the slur, and it's usually used for Mediterranean people in Australia, the W box.
Okay.
And do you know what that is?
Yeah, I'm already shook.
Yeah.
And it was gifted to an Italian or Greek person in the cast, a boy, every year. And in the box, there was like a lot of different things, but the hot list of every single production, the like 15 to 20 years before that. So this is like...
How long has this been going back?
It's so long. It was a full-on tradition thing. And then every year, the person who had this box was in charge of like accumulating all the boys' lists and then figuring out who was number one, number two, all the way down to 36. And they would pull out names one by one because we would be in the girls' change room with our ears pressed against the thin paper walls trying to figure out who it was. So they never actually said anything. All you would hear was,
oh my God.
Every so often. And then I remember us being like, fuck this, but still like not really getting as mad as we should have been, but just being like, this is so lame. Like, it's the same people every year.
Obviously.
Some of us aren't getting hotter at all. and then we decided to do our own list. But when we sat down and we were like, we could not possibly rank these boys in hotness because none of them are attractive.
Yeah, because they are rank.
We were like, they're all so gross. So we called it the nice list and we ranked them. And all this being said, I think it's funny upon reflection because of, I think, the way we twisted it into making the nice list. But this list from, I think it was Yarra Valley Grammar, which is a private school in Ringwood. It's so fucked because each of them has like notes next to them as well, like wifey.
It's so elaborate.
Like they're actually like using Excel now. It's not on paper anymore. Like they're probably all in a fucking Google Doc.
And for people saying like, oh, it's just boys being boys, it doesn't necessarily like lead to violence. It's like their metric at the bottom, the lowest ranking was literally unrapeable.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what more do you need that this is charged with misogyny and like...
And like, would you want your son to say that? Like, if you're like, boys will be boys, that indicates to me that you think like, if your child said that, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. He's just playing.
It's a mess.
It's fucked up because I think there are some people who would think that, which is so devastating, especially for like private school boys. And it is just like gross. And especially in light of how much coverage it's been getting recently, because it's not like the rate of women being murdered in the last like 2 months has been astronomical, but it's one woman a week in Australia on average anyway. So it's always bad, but there's just been a lot more talk about it. It's been in the media a lot more. So it's just like devastating that hearing all of this, knowing all of this, they didn't come together and go, let's delete this. Or like, why don't we have, even if they like, are they not scared as well? Like,
no fear. No fear. The youth of today.
Yeah. And private school boys in particular. Yeah. It's like, I don't have to face the wrath of the law.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It reminds me of that kid that threw milk on people on the bridge. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, so you can hire a boat in Melbourne to go on the Yarra River, which is kind of like, why would you do that? But people do it and have like a little picnic on the boat.
I reckon it's fun for 2 minutes.
I've been on one. And I was like driving the boat, so I had to stay sober. And everyone was like trolleyed.
Oh my God, you were the designated driver
of the boat. Such
of the cruise.
Such a gay
I'm imagining
activity.
You on one of those like old like New Orleans style like river boats.
I did wear a hat.
Yeah.
I wore one of those hats.
Like, oh, you're a lesbian? You're basically qualified to drive this ship.
And like, look, it's not that it's not fun, but you have to pay attention. But these girls were on a boat and this kid threw milk on them from above the bridge because you're passing under the bridge across Flinders, and it was videoed and he got like expelled from school. And then he was like going on social media defending himself, being like, I'm just a kid. You got me expelled from school. Look at what you did. Like, I have to suffer these consequences. And people were like, yes, you have to suffer these consequences. You spilled like milk on these people. It was all girls as well.
Mm.
You can tell they were like doing a cutie little thing. They would have been doing boomerangs.
Yes.
They would have like gotten a like, cute little outfit for this and just having that ruined by some entitled private school kid.
Yeah. And it is like the hatred that comes from men when women are just enjoying themselves. I saw this, I wonder if it came up on your TikTok feeds as well, but I saw this video. The reason I saw it was because somebody stitched it, but there was this guy in his car and he looked like just a regular, like, I would say like inner north Melbourne soft boy. He was like, I just want like cute little curly mullet, wearing a vest, forest green.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's so annoying. I like just, I went to this cafe, I had my book, I was just gonna like have a coffee and read my book, and then these fucking girls came in and they were talking about, they're like, I actually don't rate this, like, low-key I'm this, high-key I'm that. I was like, shut the fuck up. Whoa. And this girl replied being like, stitched it and was like, this is exactly what the culture is that leads to such violence. It's the disregarding of like feminine joy as well, or just like anyone who's not a man just like expressing themselves, rather than like, if I saw boys getting excited about the football, if I was by myself, to be honest, I'd probably maybe get a bit scared if they were drunk.
Oh. Yeah, 100%.
There's nothing more terrifying than a group of sportsmen.
Totally. But I've seen men get really excited about football in a pub and I've been like, good for you, like have a good time. They're enjoying it. Whereas like if girls are excited on a tram going to Taylor Swift, people literally like, the violence that they think like is worthwhile.
And the fact that it's coming from someone who like on paper, it's like, you look like you're kind of like in our camp and like part of the sort of new age trend, but it's like still bubbling underneath. I don't know. That's
music
really
theater boys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thinking they're hot.
Yeah. Making a hot list. Come
the
on.
Jets. In like-
I've said it before and I'll say it again 1,000 times. I think the worst man that ever existed is a straight man in music theater.
Genuinely fucking
they
can't stand them.
Cheat on their partners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely. And they get cast as drama captain.
Yeah.
And then the little gay boy has to take deputy drama captain.
Oh my God, I remember that bit.
Because the school wants to have a straight boy as the drama captain.
They reap the benefits of the patriarchy time and time again. They always get cast in leads and they have an inflated ego because they're working in an industry where they have the hottest girls, fittest girls around them all the time who are obsessed with them because they can't go out at night because they're working at night and they can't meet other men.
Yeah. It's
looking at you, Ariana Grande.
Looking directly at you in the eye.
Speaking of music theater gays, can we talk about Darren Criss, who this week said that he is culturally queer?
I agree with him.
Who is Darren Criss?
favorite part of every episode.
He blew up in Glee. He played Blaine, which was Kurt's love interest. Like, you would definitely recognize this guy.
Yeah, okay.
From, like, the sort of, like, Tumblr era. But prior to that, his claim to fame before that was he was in a Very Potter musical.
Yes.
Which was this, like, original American production. Like, there was...
It was just, like, a college, like, improv group to put it on, I think.
And he played Harry in the musical of
this titular role.
So he's like a yassified Harry looking at him now.
But he's gone on to play
But no, like I can tell he looks kind of straight to me.
He also played, he was in the Ryan
Hedwig.
Murphy. Hedwig.
I think he played Hedwig.
I was still thinking Harry Potter. Oh, sorry. Like, he what?
The owl.
He was just there going, whoo. he was in the Ryan Murphy show about the guy who killed Donatella Versace, the assassination of Donatella Versace. I actually really, really love that series and I thought he was brilliant in it. Again, playing a gay man.
Yeah, he's Nicholas
Lady Gaga?
Galitzin-y
of
that era.
Oh, no, okay. So there was Lady Gaga was in a movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen either.
It's very good. It's on Netflix. I would highly recommend. It's a bit full on. But I think that's funny. Who else do we think is culturally queer?
Natasha Lyonne.
Yes. She should 100% be gay.
Yes. Helen Hunt.
Stanley Tucci. I do agree with him. He is culturally queer, but a lot of people have like snapped back at him being annoyed at it. And it's kind of like he was saying something that was meant to be loving. And it was like in a Q&A portion of some interview.
And I think it's funny.
Yeah. It's just him saying like, he's like, you know, all my role models are queer. And like, you know, I've grown up in music theater. Like I can't not be like saturated by like, I don't know.
Well, let me tell you.
I don't have the words.
You
but,
immediately yeah. gave up.
I was like, of, you know, yeah, I can't I defend know. This, man.
I want to just talk about somebody who's culturally straight. George Santos.
Oh, my God.
Has come back out with his drag queen persona.
Katara.
Katara after 18 years in the closet. And he looked so bad.
That man just wants clout.
Like, stop it.
He's unhinged and I love it.
He like he's trying to like get the gays to like him now, I guess.
Oh, fuck off, bro. You're a traitor.
Yeah, like, you're such a little rat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a like, two-faced little rat.
Little rat. I also love that it was for a cameo. It wasn't even like him.
Oh, he's broke.
Yeah.
If he's on Cameo.
Yes.
If somebody at like George Santos level is on Cameo, you know they need that money.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like him talking to like some like, it was like a surf lifesaving club or something like that. It was like, hey, everyone at whatever place, thanks for sending me this thing. Like, here's my video. And that was the video of him in drag, which I find so hysterical because it's like, at least if he just like got in drag and like put up some post for everyone to watch, it's like he's owning it.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly it's like, this
it's
person
being leaked.
It's been leaked.
Yeah. I love cameo culture. I'm so grateful for it.
It's so silly.
I love seeing there's a girl on TikTok who I am full blown obsessed with called Delaney Jane. She's from Adelaide and she cosplays as Disney characters. And she has like this iconic voice where she goes, "This is my outfit of the day." And she sounds like a Disney princess. And she goes, "I went to the lovely..." This has not come up for you guys?
No. No. I have never seen Delaney
Is it
Jane.
Irony?
She's... No. She's full-blown serious. And she's amazing. She is such a gentle spirit. She's recently just celebrated 6 months with her boyfriend. I'm very excited for her. And they cosplayed as Princess Leia and Han Solo.
On May the 4th?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
For their anniversary.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
It is very cute. But she's like going on holiday. She's doing trips. And I found out recently, she's like reasonably priced on Cameo. And if you have like a niche following and people are obsessed with you, like people are with Delaney. Like she's not, sometimes she doesn't crack like thousands or hundreds of thousands of views on her posts, but she's just got this consistent viewership and she's making so, she's been on the Disney cruise twice.
Whoa.
Oh, what?
I feel like anyone who has a kind of like way of speaking that's unique, like remember that girl, she had that thing where it was like, yum, yum, yum. And it's like, like she does the videos. It's like, thanks for watching. And she like pretends she's, like she's almost like AI.
And she's like an NPC.
Yeah.
Oh.
What was her name?
Pink Princess or something?
Yeah.
Pink Sauce.
And
oh my God, the Pink Sauce.
Yeah.
She was making so
Pinky.
Much money.
Little Pinky or something.
Yeah, she actually got like gifts on TikTok Lives.
Yeah.
Which I could just never, but I actually have to tell you, I watched this live and lives to me are so cringe. Like when somebody, when I accidentally join someone's lives on Instagram, especially, and they
Pinky
see
Doll
it,
is her name.
And they're like, wait, they're like, hey, thanks for joining my live. I want to kill myself.
But I think I exit immediately and I never realize that you come up and they might be like, hello, Jared.
Yeah, they say hi. But there's one I watch now religiously every week. There's this Instagram account called Aussie Influencer Updates.
No.
Oh, my God.
And it's just like...
It's tea.
She goes live every Friday at 8 p.m. And there's like 300 people watching it. And then she's like, okay, today we're talking about Tammy Hambro and like other Aussie influencers with like big followings. Usually they're kind of in the mummy sphere. And then she's like talking about like the engagement rings. Like she's like, somebody DM'd me saying they saw her at the airport, but she wasn't sitting next to her boyfriend. And she just talks about this stuff. And I'm so obsessed. Like Anna Paul, anything like that.
Oh my God. You were going to see my name pop up. From here
we'll
on.
Be the first three.
I'll send it to you next Friday.
Yes. I love that shit. I've also been watching the calligraphy ones. I love it.
Oh,
like they write your name. It's like, thank you, Daniel. It's so satisfying.
People random. Just want to see their names written real fancy.
Yeah, but the thing with Pinky Doll, I don't know if you guys saw as well, because she built up like a huge following, and like some of it I feel like teeters into sort of like fetish, kind of like the girlfriend experience kind yeah. of content. So it was all about like curating this particular image, and then she went to some award ceremony in person and people realized that she was black and they had like a lot of people were like, oh, I actually didn't realize you were black, because she puts on these particular filters
yeah,
and stuff
on
like
her
that
filters. She looks really, really light skinned.
Yes.
And then she's actually not, and it's yeah, people were shocked but like happy for her.
Yes,
totally.
She's able to play into social media's like favoritism when it comes to lighter skin, but take advantage of it and still be black in real life.
Yeah. Well,
love
she,
it.
She like said like
oh, girl.
Something
yeah,
like,
get it.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make money.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I tricked everyone and I don't give a fuck.
That's so funny. I love it. I would be shook to the core if it turned out Delaney Jane was black. I wouldn't quite know what to do with
in Adelaide.
Yeah.
She is the colour of paper.
Because she's from TikTok and cutesy, I'm connecting Delaney with Dylan Mulvaney.
Oh, oh no. Yeah. Very different. Very different music theatre vibes. Delaney is, and I have to tell you, like, I have nothing but love for her. And I think the reason people like me are obsessed with her is because she is so earnest. And
okay.
she's so, and she just loves things and isn't, doesn't apologize for loving things.
Well, I would say that's true for Dylan Mulvaney as well.
That's like, true, yeah.
Just genuinely someone who's like, I'm just here to spread nice messages and
have a good
put
time.
Up horrible music videos.
I do think there's like a difference between Australia and the US, as in people in the US make that type of content and they're just like, yeah, yeah. whatever, this is who I am. And in Australia, we're like, that's not really you.
Yeah.
You must be nasty.
Yeah.
You're really a bitch.
Talking about people who not everyone knows are black, Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah. Is this the roller coaster?
A roller coaster. She came off a roller coaster and her personal assistant brushes her hair.
She had
that's the level of diva she's at. That's
she had
so
him come
funny.
on the ride specifically so that when it finished, he could quickly fix up her hair.
If I had the money, I would though. Like, it's so crazy that's perfect.
And yeah. I'm imagining, like, you know when like you come down the big part of the roller coaster and it takes your photo. Mm. Like, I'm imagining him with like a curling iron, like
just
getting
so the photo's
ready.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We need to see that photo.
I'm gonna look at it.
Quick reminder as well: Mariah Carey's children. The father is Nick Cannon.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to
these
kids.
Oh my God.
Can we talk about Amy Schumer on Variety?
What now? What has she done?
What has Amy Schumer not done?
Yeah.
She's just been on the cover of Variety magazine for their feminist issues. And they've kind of painted her as this misunderstood activist who's getting like death threats and online hate. Without mentioning why she's getting death threats and online hate and any of those very problematic things she's shared. So she was on this magazine cover and yeah, it's blown up because people still don't A, like Amy Schumer and B, respect the journalism of painting her in a light that's not what you can see when you actually follow along with what she posts.
That was like Jennifer Lawrence said that, like sort of was like Amy stands up for what she believes in and walks away from Gas Station on Fire with her fingers in the air like a Michael Bay movie. And I was like, don't fucking cutesy the horrifically racist shit that
yeah.
Amy Schumer's been posting. She stands up for what she believes in, which is fucking genocide.
Yeah, like sharing extremely Islamophobic things online on the guise of being persecuted.
Yeah. yeah.
On the guise of being prosecuted. Fuck, I can't speak. She.
We got you.
Actually, yeah. I don't even know which one it is.
She thinks she's being persecuted as she thinks that Jews are being persecuted.
Oh, yeah. Prosecution is legal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Persecuted is when you've been like that.
Thank you, Judge Judy.
And she's been talking about like the stuff that's been going on in colleges as well. Like it's anti-Semitic, which is not what it is.
But also, even in Jennifer Lawrence's like view of that, it's like, why would you want to be someone who is like setting fire to something and walking away? Like,
it's fucked up.
It's fucked up. And like, honestly, do better.
Yeah.
Like, of course, she's going to say yes to the cover because she loves painting herself in that picture. But yeah, I don't even want to give her any more like coverage, but I just needed to say.
And
yeah.
it's devastating because you're like, you're smart enough to know better. Mm-hmm. That's not why it's devastating, I should say. It'd just be like, it's stupid. I saw this incredible video of this young woman who stood in the middle of one of the encampments in, I think it was Columbia University. Also, shout out to any people who are doing the encampments at universities for Palestine. I think that's amazing. It's very exciting to see. And this woman who was trying to prove that everybody there was actually anti-Semitic stood in the middle with a sign that said, like, I'm here, or like, I will not be silenced. And she was getting someone to film her to show how horrific everyone was going to be to her. Nobody fucking talked to her. She stood in the middle there for so long and she was like, I will not be silenced. And everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Have a great day. I saw this. It was so embarrassing.
These Zionists, they will not stop.
No.
It's humiliating.
It's embarrassing, you know?
This is a huge left pivot, but we need to talk about it before it is no longer relevant in this country. Arj Barker taking on the baby.
Oh my God, I forgot. It's crazy how quickly things go by.
I know. Yeah. So for anyone not from Australia, Arj Barker is this comic that I'm pretty sure is from...
He's from the US. He was originally on Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
And has been kind of appearing as an quote-unquote international act at every single Melbourne International Comedy Festival, even though he lives in fucking Northcote.
Yes. And like, we've like, inverted commas, claimed him, even though it's kind of like, okay, whatever. And he's definitely part of the kind of like old regiment of comedians that have just been around for decades now.
Yeah. He's incredibly popular. Like, yes. People love him.
But hasn't been really in the zeitgeist for a while. But the other week he became talk of the town because he asked a woman who was breastfeeding and had a baby in one of his shows to leave. And then she went public with this story and said that she felt extremely uncomfortable about the whole situation. And, you know, I think audience members started sort of like jeering at her, and Arj did nothing to prevent that.
And then, in fact, he said he loves the power.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So,
what?
So some Melbourne comics who were at that show, because again, for listeners, as a comedian, you can go to most shows for free if you have a festival pass.
Yeah.
And some folks we know went and were saying that, you know, he made a little joke about when she left because the crowd are mainly men in the crowd, because again, Arj Barker's target audience is guys.
Mm.
Well, like, you know, kind of like get out, like fuck off sort of vibe. And then he made like a little joke about how he loves the power of being able to do that. And I think that if that hadn't happened, if he was just like, hey, can you leave? I don't think anything would have blown up like that, because the issue wasn't so much with like being asked to leave. The mother was unhinged.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I made a video kind of like defending her, but not too hard. But people were like, she was unhinged. And I was like, yeah.
Well,
yeah, she was.
And like, I kind of stand that. Like, she got interviewed on like A Current Affair and The Project and other interviews. And in every single one of them, the baby was
crying
and really loud. And she breastfed in those interviews.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like,
you're doing too much, girl.
I'm starting to see a pattern.
It's also just like probably, look, like quite impossible for some mums to not be able to be with their babies all the time at that young age, which sucks. But it was like, if you're going to have a night off, have a night off.
Yeah.
Like if I had a baby at my show, I probably would have powered through and been like, is there a baby in here? Rock on. I think Jenny Tian posted a video of it actually happening in her shows, and she handled it really nicely, but it would be extremely distracting, or like it would change the show. And it also, it's weird.
It is. But there was a thing about like, somebody said the baby wasn't even that loud. And like, I feel like a lot of us aren't around babies a lot, because like, who the fuck has a baby? But there was a baby at my hen's party, my godson. Obviously, he's a little angel, but he was so fine.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't cry once. Whenever we weren't bowling, somebody was holding him. We're passing the baby around like a joint.
Yeah. Rightly so.
He just had to like nice time. Like, it is totally possible for babies of a certain age to just be chill or sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't think she went into it probably initially being like, she's gonna cry and like,
yeah,
you know, kick up a fuss.
That's so true. And I think part of the problem was that like, everyone around her during this moment got really riled up and started like shouting at her. I don't think
in the video I made, the comments were all like, just stay at home. I had a baby. I stayed at home for a few years.
And Jesus, it's like, Christ.
That's, you sound unwell.
Yeah. I would like to live in a world where there was more ability for people, especially because if you are breastfeeding, it is so hard to separate yourself from that kid. Mm. And it would be nice if I know that
like sit in the back.
Yeah. You know?
It's starting to become loud, like, just be like, I'm just going to pop out into the foyer just for a couple minutes, you know, like.
And some cinemas, that shouldn't be a big thing.
Yeah. There's theaters and cinemas that have like soundproof rooms for babies and for people who are sick to cough in.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A coughing room.
I don't know if they, I think it's something different now, but yeah, they used to take people from like operas and stuff if they were coughing too much and put them in the quiet room.
Ma'am, off into the sensory deprivation tank for you.
There's also just the argument that you are dealing with a lot of unpredictable things at a comedy show. Yeah. You have drunk people in your show. You have people heckling. Mm. People actually go to shows with the intention of being a cunt, you know? And yeah, that's so encouraged. It's like, oh, do you get hecklers? Like, I always get that question when I tell people I do stand up, and I'm like, not really.
Yeah,
but then they're like, no, I like to heckle, or like they think it's a thing. Yeah. And I think heckling on purpose is way worse than a baby being like, eh.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that baby doing?
Yeah. Why is your baby kind of cunty?
Your baby's like, where? She's going, bleh. Real hot girl shit. Is it
Doja, who's always like, bleh.
No, Megan.
No, Meg Thee Stallion. Oh, but was it? Did you see Doja on Jimmy Kimmel? That was she was did it like Jimmy Kimmel or
one of the Jimmys?
Yeah,
she did like a jazzy version of like, I'm gonna paint the town red.
I love that. Yeah.
It's so funny.
It was actually like really good. I love that.
Hey, we finally got a Glee cover.
Oh yeah.
I love that shit.
Oh, Raven and her wife.
Okay, so I'm usually so across the lesbian drama, but I don't know what happened with Raven and her wife.
I have no idea.
I think there was some video where it was like, Raven has like a podcast with some other celebrity, or like she had a guest, but her wife is like usually around and is sort of like producing the pod or something like that. Like,
toxic straight away.
Yeah. But you know, when like they'll do that, like they'll cut to like someone who's like not in the episode, but is like present for the recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a video where someone was talking about That's So Raven, and the wife was like, I've never seen it or something like that. And then people blew it out of proportion and were like, how the fuck has she not seen That's So Raven? And like, it's so crazy that you could be someone's wife and like not know their like primary entry into the world of like fame.
But some people don't have Disney Channel.
Like,
I have never
seen That's So Raven.
You guys haven't seen That's So Raven?
No. I know it, and I've obviously seen clips and I know what it's about, but I didn't watch it. Like, if you didn't have Foxtel or like cable or whatever, you knew about Miley Cyrus and stuff like that, but I never watched of those shows.
I think That's So Raven somehow got included on like some just regular to air stuff in Australia as well, because I didn't have Foxtel, but I somehow managed to see
it. Would have been that, you remember like Channel 7 and Channel 9 used to have Saturday Disney?
Yeah.
And if you weren't sporty, it was...
Yeah, which I wasn't.
Good. Yeah.
It was good.
I think there's like some general issues where black people don't like Raven. And her wife, they like have beef with her because she always says like out of pocket stuff.
Well, she's kind of like a pick me.
She absolutely is. Both of them are.
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't give me like good vibes, but I feel like it's good to have diversity and lesbian representation. So there are some gays I can hate on.
Yeah. Some of us are really fucking annoying.
Yeah. It's like giving the JoJo Siwa of it all.
Yeah.
The way Raven was just like barreling the camera. I was like, stop. Stop looking at it. And would like pout her lips and be like.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking about this TikTok, not That's So Raven. By the way,
did it in the show.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, like, her wife is being like torn to shreds by people being like, why are you trying to pretend like you're above it? Because I think it was that kind of thing where it was Oh, Simone Biles' husband. Do you remember that? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that was grotty.
Yeah, people thought it was kind of like that. Like her being like, I'm not connected. Like, I love her for her and I don't see her as a performer. And it's kind of like, okay, babe. Well,
but like, as a performer, you need to love me for all my shitty little personalities.
Yes.
Like the normal me and the stand-up me and the podcast me. Like,
yes.
It's a package deal.
The deranged me.
Yeah.
So it was like Raven kind of like defending her wife but to her followers, and it's just them sitting there, and the posture of this video is so uncomfortable. It's like, it genuinely feels like when someone in primary school has been bullied and they get their like older sibling to come and like tell off the kids.
Yes.
And it's like, guys, stop being mean to her. Stop being mean to her. She's seen That So Raven. And then every now and then like the wife chimes in and she's like, yeah, I now have seen it, but originally I didn't. And it's like, this is so embarrassing.
You're like making it
so
worse funny. For yourself.
It's such a read on me as well that I've never had either of them on my For You page at all, except for this video. Yeah. TikTok was like, drama.
Yeah,
gay drama.
Yeah, it's getting messy. Jordan's going like to love this.
Charlie, I want to ask you as well, what do you think about Dead Poets Society, whatever it is?
Oh, Tortured Poets Society. Do you know, I still haven't listened to it.
Good.
I listened to one song, like the first song, and I was like, it's not a vibe. And then I gave up, and I just don't have the time. It's 31 songs.
You are not the first person who is a Swiftie who I've been like, what do you think of the album? They've been like, I couldn't get past the first song. First song?
It's slapdash.
So did you see the review of the album that couldn't put the author's name?
Because I don't want them killed.
Yeah. Like, Swifties are so intense that this publication put up a review of the album that wasn't glowing.
Yeah.
And they were like, redacted, name redacted.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, like, I think Rolling Stone or another big music publication said it was like an instant classic.
Yeah, they gave it 5 stars. And it's cowards. Like,
you're lying.
Yeah.
Stop lying to us.
Yes.
She needs a couple no people in her camp, because if she did, she wouldn't have released an album with 30 skip songs.
It's just...
I haven't listened to it.
I've definitely been...
I know. I've just seen like people use it for showing off their boyfriend or whatever.
Oh,
and I'm
what?
Like, gross. Because it's like a song where, you know, some type of love song.
It just feels like main character syndrome. Like, she doesn't have to put something out all the fucking time.
Mm.
Like, take a leaf out of like Beyonce's book, put out an album when it's a really solid, undeniable, awesome thing.
Yes.
Then take some time off, chill.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just a bit tailored out. Like, I do love her and I probably will in time give this album a go, but for now...
Because you always do this.
I know.
You always do this with every Taylor album. You're like, I don't really like it. And then like 8 months later when nobody's listening to it, you're like... Oh my God, I listened to all 31 songs.
Yes, and there's a sudden spike in like...
Yeah.
You're in the top 0.05% again.
But I love it.
Should we talk about Baby Reindeer?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't watched all of it though, but I read what happened.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of person I am.
It's also extremely heavy. So some people being like, I'm tapping out. That is fair.
Yeah. Also fair if you hate true crime too. That's
fine. Yeah.
It's okay. We love it enough for all of you.
Yeah.
Like between Jordan and I. Yeah.
Whatever you think, if you think what we like is disgusting and shameful, we do too. We just have crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
But Baby Reindeer, what did you guys think?
I thought it was obviously fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy it and I thought it was very like well written. I had some issues with the sort of like conversion from, because it was originally a stage play.
Mm.
And I feel like there were parts of it that I was like weren't adapted for TV as good as it could be. But that's like directorial kind of stuff. Like I'm like, on the whole, I think it's amazing.
Mm.
What about you guys?
I couldn't stop watching it. I think it does a really good job at like sucking you in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think online's reaction has been really interesting because people are trying to like find all the real people. And I think that's the thing about like true crime or things that are taken straight from somebody's life who's still alive. It's such a risk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I have in my life that I could turn into a Netflix show? It's like funny and people want to watch it.
Yeah.
So like partly jealous. That I don't have like
a stalker.
They're outside the studio right now.
It's true. I think what is interesting about it is I really like the way that he portrays himself in it too, because he makes some decisions that you're like, this is
oh, he
not
is...
a great idea. Or like, but you can understand why And also just the fact that, like, he admits that, like, her, when he was feeling really low, and obviously it's linked to, like, him being assaulted a few years earlier too, but also his, like, comedy career is not, like, doing what he thought it would. He's having a shit time, and there's this woman who is obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And him talking about it feeding his ego is so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes it all the more kind of, like, frustrating as a viewer to watch, because you're like, I get it, but you're also like, snap the fuck out of it. Like, you want him to pick the better option, but this show doesn't have easy answers. And it's just like, it's showing that, like, sometimes it's like a cycle of abuse, or like the fact that you could go back to someone who has hurt you and like why someone would do that. I found that really interesting. Even though it was like upsetting to watch, I was like, in particular, the fact that he's like a white cisgendered man in comedy as well. I feel like for some people, this might be sort of like the Barbie monologue equivalent of like
I see what you mean, because there are a lot of moments where he's just like talking about how he felt and he's explaining it, and you're kind of getting an insight into somebody's psyche that you might not meet otherwise.
Genuinely. Yeah. And like, I feel like we move in very like liberal Melbourne bubble circles where we probably are more versed in this kind of stuff, but for a subsection of the world, like, this would be kind of like, fuck, I've never heard this like laid out in that way before. And I think for those people, this would be mind-blowing.
I agree. It's always kind of good to think about like people who don't have any friends who are trans, or who just maybe don't know,
or men who are able to talk about being assaulted or raped or things like that. And that things can happen to men as well, and that they can talk about it. Like, it's important.
Did you see the Twitter thread of the actor who didn't get cast and went on a date with?
Yes.
Yeah. So what happened here? So she was auditioning for the part of his girlfriend, or the girl that he's dating for a while in the show.
Yeah, I sort of, I'm not 100% on the details, but it was something like he met her while just like out and about kind of thing. And then he was like, you should audition for this show that I'm doing. And then she kind of felt like, oh, but like, I felt like we were kind of like on a date and I wasn't sure if like the lines were getting blurred sort of thing.
Yeah. It reminded me of the Aziz Ansari bad date story from like, 10 years ago. And I was thinking about it, and like people sharing experiences with now famous people, because it really has pushed him into the limelight, and being like, oh, that wasn't really great, I don't think he like acted professionally. And I think I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Because like, if I was casting for a thing, I wouldn't date the people like process.
So inappropriate.
It's like,
totally.
You want to wait like, oh, 6 months later, oh, maybe reach out. But while it's happening, I feel like that's a bit blurring the line. So I feel like she was right in expressing her issues with that.
But definitely.
I think it did come off a bit as a way of like, let me take him down a notch.
Like,
let me actually
he's now being
tell
like
you.
I think the like studio is now kind of like looking into the like casting process and like inquiring into whether there was like inappropriate conduct. So we will see what comes of that.
And it is really interesting seeing how people react to stuff like that. Because I remember when, like, particularly like circling back to the girl who came forward about Aziz Ansari, she was explaining that these situations aren't like the stuff that happens with, like, you know, on the extreme end with Weinstein and stuff like that. They don't exist in a vacuum. They start, you know, it begins with this like sense of entitlement, because Aziz was just like, she would walk into the room and he was just completely naked and stuff like that. Like, really like bizarrely threatening behavior, which is also like going on a date with someone who you want to cast or like, and stuff like that. So it's like, and I think people jump on it being like, you're just trying to cancel him, or like you're trying to spoil his spotlight and stuff like that. It's like, no, it's like he can still have his spotlight, but it's also like, hey, if you're going to call out assault and bad behavior from higher ups in the community, don't also start playing into that in these ways as well. Like,
like you are higher up now.
Yeah, totally. Of just being like, hey, just so you know, like this is still, I think it's so fine to call people out and stuff and still not, without the intention of being like, fuck your career. And people freak out the second you're like, hey, this person behaved badly. It's like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to kill him? And it's like, no, I'm just trying to say, can we exist in a world where things are nice?
No, we can't.
We can't have it. I did really enjoy Baby Reindeer. I thought, yeah, like you said earlier, like it doesn't try to answer anything. It's not about bringing answers forward. And it's also just like I binged it and then I had a conversation with my mom about that stuff because she watched it too at 2:30 in the morning, which is an interesting choice.
She was like, she is your mother.
She is my mom. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like you.
She's like, I woke up. I was a bit stressed. Couldn't get back to sleep. So I watched
a
natural thing in the world.
But yeah, her talking about the way that he spoke about dating a trans woman and him being assaulted and stuff like that and hearing her talk about it, I was like, oh, this is like reaching people and in a way that is meaningful, I think. And it's just making people think. And I think the part that I really enjoyed is the empathy that I had for Martha as well, for his stalker.
Mm.
At no point was I like, she deserves to be like put away and like kill her. I was like, this is an unwell woman who's not getting any help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can't be the person to help her.
She was so good in it as well.
Oh, such a good actor. Oh my God. And then have you seen Real Life Martha?
Yes.
Has gone like, that woman was ugly.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what do you mean? She's so much cuter than you.
Come on.
What are you on about?
I also find it kind of funny that people are like, don't look into the real people in this thing. Like, that's not the point of it. As though it's not like the real Martha is the most obvious person you have ever imagined. Like, she's doing exactly what she does in the show on Twitter to this day, like posting 100 times a minute about him. And it's like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out.
Send from iPhone.
Oh my God.
Send from my iPhone.
Should we do our pop or flop?
Yes.
Let's do it. My pop this week is Barbara Streisand, who posted on Melissa McCarthy's Instagram on what she thought was a private DM being like, send him my regards. Did you take Ozempic?
Oh, yeah. My God.
No punctuation.
Like, that was clearly meant to be a DM, right?
Yes.
It's right?
So funny. And I don't think it got deleted. I think it's maybe been deleted now. Actually, I haven't checked, but it's been up for days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And it's like, I've seen a clip of Melissa McCarthy talking about it, being like, I'm just so glad that she knows who I am.
Yeah. I love She's Melissa like... McCarthy.
She's a legend.
Barbara is just like everyone's grandma on social media. They don't know what's going on. They need to, it reminds me of when Adele was like, I only had the password for my Instagram once. That's what she posted at Jamaica Day.
Oh,
iconic.
She never said it, but it's so clear that it was like, she's like, yeah, I posted one thing and then they took my password away from me.
She wasn't in like blackface, was she? She just had dreads or something, wasn't it?
And she had a little bikini.
It wasn't even like, in my opinion, a culturally appropriative style, but she had like a little bantu knots on her head. And she low-key looked like Katy Perry.
She did.
I couldn't tell them apart in that moment.
Which is a very Katy Perry thing to do, actually.
That's so true.
And she was wearing a little bikini with the Jamaican flag on it. I think she genuinely meant it, being like, I love the Jamaican community.
Yeah, she ate.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny because it was so random. Like, all the other shots of her looking like a, you know, like 1960s, like, hot girl with a winged eyeliner. Mm-hmm. Cut to her with, like, a backpack looking over her shoulder in a little bikini.
I have a really boring pop for the week, but it's hand cream.
I know.
Go off.
Like, my hands are actually so dry and disgusting, and my cuticles are like, I can't even like show them off. And I've been using like hand cream and cuticle oil because I want to have nice hands.
Nice.
And not bite my fingers anymore. And like, you know, I'm approaching 30. Like the kids on TikTok are always telling us.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say you can tell your people's age by their hands. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
And I just want my hands looking young. So hand cream. And I'm also going to start putting sunscreen on my hands.
Smart. I butcher the shit out of my fingers. I bite them so much. But I feel like I'm just like too far gone now.
It's ingrained. You can be recovered.
No.
Like me.
No, it's over for me. It's over for me.
Rest in peace, Charlie.
Rest in peace, Charlie's nails.
I want to start doing that. feel like my hands have just gotten so, like, you know when you get veins because you've been like working out or something like that? Mm. I'll simply send a text and the veins in my hand are pulsating, like, whoa, we've never worked this hard in our lives. And I'm like, this must be an aging thing. My gran had varicose veins and I think that will happen for me. All down my legs. Hot. She's still alive. Yeah. My flop is to autumnal hay fever. I'm sneezing so much. There is so much snot in my nose and it's not even in vogue to have hay fever at this time of year, but it's the two most common times to have hay fever are autumn and spring, and I'm much more of an autumn hay fever girl. I've got hives on my back. And I can't even share this with people because everybody else is waiting for spring and I'm like, I don't know what fucking plant I'm allergic to. Yeah. But I can't handle leaves. You're like,
I'll be dead by then.
I'll be dead by then. And it's killing me. So fuck off, pollen. I think more buildings, less trees. There, I said it.
Wow. Yep. Revolutionary.
I say more native trees.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Thanks for listening, our friends.
Bye. We love you. Take care, cunts.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.